It Doesn't End Here is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, listeners, and welcome back to the pod for season three. First, I want to start off by saying thank you for coming back for another season, and I really appreciate your support. This season is going to be a little bit different than the last two because I am in a completely different phase of my life this whole past year than I was previously when making the past two seasons. Shortly after season two came out, my entire life changed, and I have to say this past year of my life has been the most challenging out of my 33 years on this planet. To give you a little bit of like a snapshot, I moved back to Oklahoma City from London in April 2022. The pressure of moving to a new country and starting over was a lot. My anxiety was at an all-time high. My husband also started to have some crazy anxiety, and we both were spiraling out of control emotionally, which led us to have several really bad conversations that led us both to agreeing to a divorce over a phone call. I wish it had not been the case. I still haven't seen him since April 2022, since he put me in a cab and I left London. Already freaking crying. And I'm just now recording this introduction. This is going to be a great season, you guys. As I said, I did not know that that was going to be the last time I was going to see him. I got back to the United States and I immediately started trying to get a job, get a car, get an apartment, furniture. You know, I moved back with two suitcases and my dog. Thank God for family and my best friends and for anyone in Oklahoma City who I hadn't seen in a really long time, who was just like super excited to have me back and, you know, kind of wanted to scoop me up and hang out and catch up. Like, oh my God, bless all of you guys. I needed that so much. It really is so important to have people you love and trust around you when you're going through it. I mean, that was a key part of my recovery, was being with my family and my friends. Around last summer, I started to feel a little bit better mentally, and I started to contact the ladies who are now in the season you're about to hear. They didn't know anything about me besides the fact that I just have this podcast. I think they quickly learned that I am struggling. I am trying to make a podcast while putting my life back together and going through a divorce, and I'm just a hot mess. And these women have literally been my lifeline at times over the past year. These women are so wise beyond their years. And hearing about their past heartbreaks and their trauma has helped me heal. And it showed me a way through to the other side. I can honestly say that the making of this season of the podcast gave me the experience that I hope all of you have as listeners. There is so much power in being able to listen to these stories without judgment or bias, and being able to look at my own life and give myself grace and understanding for the things that I didn't fully understand in the past, so I can move forward to the next chapter of my life, or the next book of my life is what it really feels like. And I just want to say thank you to all the women who are going to share their stories in this season. And I want to say thank you to you for being here, listening and learning and growing with an open heart. Season three starts right now. You're listening to It Doesn't End Here.
My name's Brianna. I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am 25 years old, and I am currently living in California, and I work as a nanny and for a marketing company. I met Chad after moving to another state during my senior year of high school. When we first met, we instantly clicked, and we spent every single day together. We would walk to school together, walk home from school together. What attracted me to him was his smile. He had bright blue eyes, and he just had a way of making you feel special. He was super funny, and we had both come from very traumatic childhoods and broken families. So I think that was kind of what made us connect more and make me feel more understood by him. And he had that bad boy aspect, so that kind of brought me into him even more. I had always struggled growing up to just kind of find that attention from someone. My dad wasn't around, so I guess I had always longed for a boyfriend or someone to make me feel special. So when I finally got that attention and he was willing to give it to me every second of every day, I was all in and just ready. Didn't even understand that it wasn't healthy that way. After about 2 months of meeting and hanging out daily, he finally asked if I wanted to start dating. At first, he treated me like an absolute queen. He would walk me to and from class, wanted to spend every second together, introduced me to his family, didn't even want me to spend time with my friends or family, completely love-bombing me, telling me how beautiful I was and amazing I was, and blowing up my phone with compliments and bringing me things and just making me feel like I was on top of the world. And that was something I had never felt before.
Did the butterflies and all of that last for a while?
Yeah, honestly, up until, so I moved to where I met him in January of 2015. And then I had planned on moving back to my hometown in June of that same year once I graduated. So it was kind of like a short time. I didn't mention to him at first. I had already had plans of moving because, I don't know, I wasn't thinking it was going to be that serious, but I was also like wrapped up in it. So I wasn't worried about my future just yet. I was just like so focused. So we had, you know, January, February, March, April, and then at the end of May. So about 5 months is when we were starting to graduate. And that's when tensions got a little high, was when I was going to move away, right up until the point that I moved back to my hometown for the summer. He was love bombing me, with me every single second, would sleep at my house with me. I didn't even have my own room, but he would sleep on the couch or on the floor, like just wanted to be with me every single second that he could. So it was something that I had never felt. And I think I'm a very codependent person, and I'm still trying to learn how to be by myself. But I loved that at first. It was like everything to me because I had someone that wanted to spend their every second with me. So why wouldn't I want that? You know, it was something that I always dreamed of.
Were there any red flags that you noticed in the beginning?
So when I first met him, I had actually, the very first night that we wanted to hang out, I had went over to his house and his mom said that he was in his room. So I went inside his room thinking like, oh, we're just going to hang out. And I walk in, there's loud music blasting and he's cussing. And I walk in, meanwhile, I had never hung out with this guy before. Like I had just started talking to him on WhatsApp or something. And I walk in and he is sitting here calling his mom a bitch. And I ask him what happened and he said that she turned off his phone service and just calling her a bitch all because he didn't clean his room. And that's like my first insight to this man who's calling his mother a bitch when my mom is my best friend. And I have the utmost respect for women because my mom raised me by herself. So that really kind of showed me like kind of how like angry he could get and a little bit into what his real personality was. But after about 15 minutes, he calmed down and brought it back down to what I knew of him. Right from the get-go, I was like, somehow he manipulated me into thinking that everyone else was the instigator and he was the saint.
So you and Chad were together for about 4 months before you moved back to Vegas, right?
We had dated officially from March to June. So March, April, May, June, about 4 months when I moved back to Vegas at the beginning of June. I actually had gotten my dog right before I moved back, which is a big part of my life because I still have my baby to this day.
What kind of dog is he and what is his name?
His name is Tyson. He is a German Shepherd Pit Bull mix and he is my saving grace. He truly has saved me throughout all of this. And I got him when he was 3 weeks old. So I had gotten him when I was actually with my ex. And then we got Tyson and then about a week later I had moved to Vegas. So in my eyes, it was, you know, I'm 18. I just graduated high school. Like, my life is beginning. I have this new boyfriend. We're going to do long distance. I had actually had a scholarship for college for teaching because I'd always wanted to be a teacher. And I had won a $500 scholarship. And I was going to use that. I was able to use it out of school out in Vegas. So I was really excited to get my future going. You know, right when I got there, my phone was blowing up constantly. I couldn't go anywhere without him wanting to talk and talk and talk. And then I was also insecure. So when he was going out, you know, I'd be, what are you doing? Because, you know, I had boyfriends who had cheated on me. So I was always nervous. So we were just already within the first 5 months of our relationship in that toxic cycle where you don't trust each other. And if you don't trust each other, it's not going to work. But we just couldn't let go. Already after 5 months, we were just attached. At first, it seemed more like he really cared. Like, he was just worried or like just like wanted to talk to me or blah, blah, blah. So it didn't seem like he was trying to control me. And it didn't make me super upset. It irritated me, the fact that I couldn't hang out with people without my phone blowing up constantly. But it was okay at first. Like, it didn't seem angry. And then as time progressed over the years, it got worse. But when I lived in Vegas, it was more of just like constantly blowing me up, like he had to talk to me. And the thing was, is I planned on staying there and he wanted me to come back. So I gave up my scholarship and I left my best friend and her mom that I had been living with, that they had brought me into their home. They had bought me, you know, a bed set and spent all this money getting me set up in their house and ready to live with them and getting a car for us to share and getting my life set up. And I turn around and I go right back to Florida.
Was this in your first semester of college? Like, how long did you live in Vegas?
I didn't even get to college. I was there for 2 months. I stayed June and July, and he had talked me into going back, and I was on a plane in August. So I didn't even get a chance to really go to school or do anything. I had those 2 months of summer where I saw my friends that I hadn't seen in years and worked, and then I went right back to Florida. First off, his mom had also been inviting me to live with them. So she, you know, would text me and, oh, he misses you so much. He's so sad. Like, you know that you're always welcome to stay with us. Just like guilting me and guilt tripping me and his little brother and sister as well, because I loved them. Just telling me how happy we could be and how we could get a place together and, you know, have our dog. And he knew like what to say to me because I had never had that person to really put that effort into me. So he knew that if he really just said like, listen, we have a future, we can get X, Y, and Z, we can get an apartment. Like, we will be so happy. And that's all I wanted. And, you know, one day we could have a family. And he just swooped me in. I don't even think he had to say much. I was so already attached to him that I was going to do it. I was willing to drop anything for him in a heartbeat, not realizing how much it would affect me. Which now, as I reflect on it, shows that I really didn't have much, I'm not going to say love because I've always loved myself, but I guess self-respect, because I had never thought about what I wanted. I had always put that on the back burner. And I was like, you can figure that out. You know, you can do school anywhere. You can make friends anywhere, but you know, you don't have him anywhere. So you have to go back to where he is. And I wish I would have seen that that is not how it should be. I think that he took everything that he grasped, everything that I told him, and he would remember it for years. Even if it wasn't relevant, he would find a way to use it against me or to manipulate me. And so I started having to be really careful about what I did tell him. But at that point, I'd already told him everything. I flew into the airport with my dog. I had a friend that went to our high school that was able to pick me up from the airport. And she brought him with her so that he could be there. As we're driving to his house, because I'm supposed to be living with him and his family, his mom, his stepdad, his brother and sister, I get a message from her saying, my dog isn't allowed to live there. Even though she knows I'm literally in the car driving to her house, I just flew across the country to move in with them with my dog. And now she's telling me as I'm 30 minutes away that he can't live with us. So I'm crying. I don't know what to do or where to go. I just left Vegas to move in with him and his mother and his family. And she's saying, oh, I'm sorry, but Tyson isn't allowed to live with us. So you're going to have to figure it out. It was not an issue because she had met him when we got him and they loved him. She helped me bottle feed him. So I was so confused and like why her entire personality towards me had changed over those 2 months that I was gone, because she had always invited me to live with them and wanted to be close. And, you know, we would all watch TV together and eat dinner. And now she like is angry at me and doesn't want my dog living there and is trying to make me upset. And I tell him and he says, you know, screw her, whatever. Let's just go. We'll get there. It's fine. So we get there and I pretty much just go to his room right away. It's like 9 o'clock at night. So they went to bed. I was scared the next morning. I didn't want to go out there. I felt awkward already. I stayed in the room pretty much that whole day. My dog had peed on the floor and it turned into a huge argument with his parents on my first day that I had ever lived with them. So she sat me down and, you know, said that I'm not supposed to have Tyson there because he's a puppy and they can't take care of it and they have two small children. Then told me that I didn't help out around the house. I didn't help out with the dishes, that we didn't have jobs. Meanwhile, her son also never touched a dish in his life and never did anything. And that was also her son whose house he's supposed to live in. I had just moved there. So I start crying because I felt so attacked. Then she starts attacking me more, calling me out, saying I'm fake crying and that I'm doing it for attention. So I didn't even know how to feel. I had been living with these people for maybe a week at that point, been dating him for maybe 6 months, not even 6 months. It just wasn't what I had envisioned, but I had already felt like stuck. You know, my mom wasn't in a place to bring me back to live with her, and I wasn't in a place to go all the way back to Vegas and admit that it didn't work out. So I just stuck with it and hoped that it would get better.
So what was the outcome of this conversation? Like, how did it end up?
He yelled at them, as usual. He yelled at them a lot. That was his thing. That's what I came to expect, was that when he was upset, he was going to yell. We ended up just going back to his room, and his parents just kind of dropped it off. Like, they were the type that would bring things up and then leave it alone for a day or two and then bring it back up and start another huge fight. So he kind of just left it alone. And I started looking for a job. I was like, I'm not going to live here. And I didn't want to live there and not have a job. I wanted one. I just didn't know how I would get there. I didn't have a car. You know, his mom said, oh, you can take the bus. Never taken the city bus in my life, especially not there. So I was scared, but I was going to do it. So I did all the work. I got rides from my mom to go to get interviews. I ended up getting a job at Starbucks. And I had to take the bus there every morning at 5 a.m. I'd have to ride the bus alone. And then I'd go to work until about 2 p.m. And then I'd take the bus back and get home around 3. That was about for 6 months. And he didn't have a job at all. He just stayed there. So I would go every day to and from work and then use my money for if we wanted to go get fast food, we didn't budget, we didn't save. We were, you know, oh, let's go get something from the gas station, or let's see if someone can buy us alcohol. You know, we weren't looking, you know, I remember him saying that we could get a place together. And then when the time came and I had the money, you know, the money was always being spent on things that he needed, or food, or things that we didn't really want. And I was the one that had to take care of it. It was about, I can't even remember, it had to be at least 6 months until he finally got a job in the mall at a shoe store or a clothing store. And I think he worked there for maybe a week, 2 weeks. And then he ended up either getting fired or quitting. I don't even remember seeing any of those paychecks. I don't remember him. I think when he got his first check, he actually bought himself new shoes and new clothes. And then I do remember him buying me a pair of shoes with his first paycheck, because, you know, oh, I'm going to spoil you. You know, I have this job where I can do us, you know, get us these things instead of getting us things that we needed or paying his mom money that we owed her. He bought us clothes. And in my head, I was like, oh, how sweet. Like, that is so cute of you to do that for me. And now I'm like, no, how immature. Our money was already going elsewhere. So from the get-go, it felt like I was the only one working. We had an incident where he had stayed late at that job one night with the female coworker. And to this day, I never knew exactly what happened, but he got very defensive when I tried to ask about it. Apparently it was just a ride home, but he had gotten home about 2 hours after the shift had ended. So always in the back of my head, I always thought that he had done something, and that was a reason why over the years he had started accusing me, was because deep down he knew.
How much were you making from Starbucks?
Oh, $500 every 2 weeks, plus maybe $20 in tips, which would go to bus money. So not nearly enough. And we didn't have a car. We didn't have anything. And all the money, it would just go, like, you know, I would get it and he would need it, or we would need it. I just felt like it was never really mine. I knew that once I got it, it was going to be gone.
During this time, what was happening with his family? And sorry, just to go back quickly, what happened with Tyson? Did he end up staying there with you?
Yeah, he did. So she had made that big deal and nothing happened. She made that big deal and he peed in the house that one time, and we potty trained him and were able to teach him to pee outside, and that was that. She made a huge deal and upset me, and it just was never brought up again. Then it was like that with a lot of things. That's how she was. And, you know, she made it very uncomfortable, and she really just dug into me, and everything was always my fault. And even if she realized it wasn't my fault, she couldn't admit it, or she would only admit it to me, but wouldn't ever hold him accountable, and really just held him on that pedestal and just made me feel like so much less than everyone else. And we started drinking together because they would get us alcohol. We weren't old enough to get it. And we would start drinking together every night and getting into altercations and screaming at each other. And he would go through my phone and look at people that I had talked to when I was 15 years old, didn't even know that he existed in the world yet. And he would wake me up screaming at me, "Why did you do this and this with so-and-so at 15? And I'm first off, you're waking me up asking me this. Why are you going through my phone? And why does it matter? I said, I didn't even know you, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter because he knew me now. He was hurt by it. So, you know, we would drink and we would fight, and it was just, it never ended. It was like, it would just go on and on. I would work and I'd come home and we would drink and we would fight.
So what about all the women that he was with before you? I mean, I appreciate that you guys were young, so probably not a lot, but still.
All I ever heard was about one ex-girlfriend. Apparently she had done him wrong, is what he always said, was that she was the one that ruined it. And she was the one who, I don't know if she cheated is what he said, but something that, you know, he had walked 8 miles to her school to bring her a teddy bear for Valentine's Day, and she had turned him away and just this huge elaborate story. And I asked his mom about it, and she's like, he didn't even have money to buy anyone anything, so why he would be able to get that and then walk there. Just like, so I don't really know what their past was like. I've seen pictures, I saw messages, because he randomly talked to her throughout our first 3 months of dating when we had first gotten together. He would still text her and say hi and want to hang out. When I was younger, from age like 18, even to 21, 22, I had a really hard time handling my alcohol. I had had so much trauma growing up and with my family that in high school, I would just black out. I would drink and drink and drink and go, go, go and party with my friends. And I was always the one who just couldn't handle it. And so that carried on, definitely. And so when we would drink together, we would obviously drink like liquor, like vodka, whiskey. It was never beer, anything more relaxing. It was always the hard stuff. And we would just go hard. It was never one drink. It was shots on shots on shots. I don't know where the fights would come from, but once that alcohol got into us, you know, either he would start an argument or I would start an argument and it would blow up. One time we got into a huge argument when we were drinking. I have absolutely no idea why. To the point where I ended up picking up a vase and I threw it and smashed it. And I'm not proud of that at all. But that just shows me like what kind of person I turned into, feeling so insane and feeling like I needed to defend myself so bad that I had to do that. And I know that's not right and that wasn't what I was supposed to. But in that moment, like I wanted to defend myself and I couldn't. And so it would happen a lot. And, you know, it would be over nothing. And it was every time we drank, we could never, ever, ever have a good time ever. It would end up in absolute screaming matches or hitting matches of, you know, him trying to grab my arm or grab me. And so I would smack him away, which turned into, you know, me smacking his face and then him smacking me or grabbing my throat. So it was, it turned very physical. And it wasn't physical every single time, but a lot of the times it did turn physical.
When you woke up the next day, did you just pretend that everything was fine?
Yeah, I had to, because if I had to walk on eggshells, because if I stayed mad, he would get mad and then he would blow up. And then it was really hard to get him back down from that anger. Once he was angry, it took a lot to get him like calmed down. And my anxiety is so bad with, you know, confrontation that I just couldn't do it. So I started to learn that if I just left it alone, if I pretended that it didn't happen, if I didn't bring it up, if I pretended that, oh, okay, you were right and I was wrong, we can just let it go, then it's way easier than trying to actually talk about it. So that's just what I did. I would just sweep it under the rug and hopefully it would be done for, or sometimes it would be dragged out for another day and we would just fight all day long.
Gosh, did you have anxiety going home, kind of knowing that you were in this toxic cycle of going home, drinking, and getting into an argument?
Yep. It was awful. And I had anxiety because, you know, we lived with his mom. And so we would also fight with her because we were fighting, because he had a little brother and sister that lived there and she didn't want us fighting and them having to listen to that, which I understood. But it's also like, this is your son and you're not even defending me. You're not helping me. You're not, you know, who's on my side here? Like, I feel like you're both against me when I'm not the person that's doing, you know, doing all of the wrong. And so it just, every day I would walk from that bus stop and I would just dread it. And some days I would be excited and I would bring them home, you know, drinks because I worked at Starbucks and, you know, we'd have a couple, you know, really good nights where we'd all hang out and, you know, watch Family Feud or something and have dinner. But for the most part, you know, I just couldn't. I wanted to throw up. I loved being at work. I loved, you know, staying there. I didn't have friends to hang out with. You know, I wasn't able to go see my mom a lot, even though she lived 5 minutes from us. He wanted me home with him. And if I went to see my mom, he was going to come with us. So it was never time for just me and her.
Did his mother witness all of the abuse that he inflicted upon you?
Yeah, yeah. She witnessed it, and she didn't say anything until she saw me scratch him on the neck. And that's when the line was drawn that I can't live in her house if that's how we're going to act. Because I put my hands on her son, defending myself. I couldn't live there anymore if that was going to happen. It was always, that's why I always felt like I had no one on my side, because even the mom, the woman who, she's a mother, she has a daughter. You would think that she would get it. She understands. I've told her about where it came from in my life. And she couldn't move past her son being this perfect person no matter what he did. So we lived with his stepdad. He was a hot mess, to be honest. He was nice, but just kind of absent, like his mom. You know, they both drank a lot. They were both that's where we kind of got it from. You know, we would all just drink together and blow up. And he was very abusive towards her, not physically, but verbally. So I think that's where my ex learned that from, was growing up watching his stepdad treat his mom like that.
It's really sad to look at the relationships that were happening in that house, because both of the relationships were toxic. Like, the parents had their own toxic relationship and the children had their own toxic relationship.
Yeah. Over the years, his mom and I kind of bonded more about our trauma with her own child and her own, you know, husband. So it's a little strange, but his real dad was so kind and so nice. And he is like a really hard worker and complete different person than my ex and my ex's mom. And they had been divorced ever since he was little. So, you know, we'd see him, we'd go out to dinner with him. You know, he had a good amount of money, so he was pretty well off. He would help us out when we needed. But, you know, we didn't live with him, so, you know, it was like a nice escape when we got to go see him. But our reality was his mom, his stepdad, and us. And that's what we had to go through every single day.
I've learned through therapy and lots of books that, you know, if you're an adult that kind of seeks chaos, it's because you grew up in chaos. You don't really know how to act sometimes when things are going smooth and steady, because it's not your normal. It's not what you're used to.
I think that's why I stayed, is I had that bond with his mom, because, you know, it wasn't always horrible. We weren't always fighting. We'd go get our nails done together and, you know, we'd text throughout the day, and we got very close, and I had that bond with his brother and his sister. And so, you know, my family is a hot mess. So I think I was like, I have a family now. And they're a hot mess just like my family. And I've always grown up in that. So it's okay. Like, I can handle this. My life has always been a hot mess. So what's different? This is my life. This is how my life is supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be with a normal person and a normal family. I'm supposed to be with a family that is just like mine. And so I kind of just stayed because it was familiar.
We planned a spring break trip to Mexico with my friends from Colorado. I had lived there for high school, and we planned this big spring break trip with like 8 of us. And I paid for his passport, which was over $200. I was saving money in an envelope for our trip. One of our other friends that was going ended up paying our half of like the hotel, because we didn't have the money at the time. And the main thing about this trip was the people that were going, I had been friends with since I lived at my old high school, and one of them was an ex-boyfriend of mine. It was nothing serious. We dated for literally a week or two, and I was more pressured into dating him because he was like, his friends were dating my two best friends at the time. So it was kind of like, oh, like, it'd be fun. We can all hang out. So it was really short. Yes, I was 15 years old. It was my first boyfriend since I moved to that new school. I didn't know anyone else besides my friends. It really was just, it was a week. We barely even hung out. He met my parents once. And we still hung out afterwards as friends. He had new girlfriends. So, you know, I told my ex at the time, I told him who it was, our past. And he assured me a million times, it's fine. I'll be fine. You know, I don't, no hard feelings. And so, you know, we get to Mexico and we have to wait like an hour for our friends to get there. And while we're waiting, I just notice his mood is shifting. He's like getting very quiet, a little agitated, and says he feels like he's gonna throw up, he's nauseous, and we're in Mexico waiting for our friends. And then he starts bringing up the boy, the man that's coming, my other ex, my week and long relationship, and saying that he's uncomfortable with him being there. And I'm internally freaking out because we're already in Mexico. There's no way to turn around now. So I wait, we get with our friends, you know, he's kind of quiet, says hi to everyone. I can tell he feels awkward. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, we get in our shuttle, get to the hotel, and it's gorgeous. It's huge. Like, we are staying in this beautiful hotel right on the water. We have a hot tub on our deck. Like, it's three stories. It's so beautiful. I was so excited. And, you know, he starts drinking and arguing with me in front of everyone. And, you know, my friends can tell something's off. I'm trying to make excuses for him. You know, he's just nervous. I bring it up. You know, one of my friends comes and talks to him and is like, listen, there's nothing to worry about. We're all here for a good time. That's it. So we're just trying to get through it. And we all start drinking. Of course, we're in Mexico. It's spring break. Him and I can't handle our liquor, especially when we're together. So I don't remember exactly how this argument started, but he started yelling at me, trying to say that I wanted to hook up with the other man that was on the trip with us when I was there with my boyfriend.
Oh my God. Like, how much time did he have to discuss all of this with you prior to the trip?
Definitely 6 months before we even bought the tickets that he could have backed out before I got his passport, before I saved money, before I paid for anything. So he had time. So we start yelling and my friends tell us that we need to go upstairs. And so we go up into the other room, I'm trying to de-escalate it, and things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. We're screaming at each other. I'm trying to reassure him that everything's okay. And we somehow end up, it's a big master type bedroom with a bed and then a balcony. And so we go out there and we're screaming at each other. And at one point, he liked to like use his aggression to scare me into just like submit and stop talking. And so he kind of like shoved me against the railing of the balcony. And I was pushing him back because I was drinking. I did not care. I thought this was ridiculous. He did not like that I pushed back. He just shoved me harder and put his hands around my throat. I'm trying to hit him and tell him to stop, and I'm terrified. You know, in my head at the time, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is it. Like, I'm never going to see my mom, my dog, and my friends are going to have to deal with this now. And I don't know how, but he just stopped, and he kind of backed up, and he got ghost white. I'm crying. I'm like, how could you do this to me? Like, why did you just do this to me? Then it turns around and now he's going to jump off the balcony. He's screaming, crying. He runs out to the balcony. You know, I have to go get my friends and tell them that he's screaming and, you know, they don't want to go up there and deal with it. So I run up there and I finally, like, I don't know how long it was, 30 minutes, I get him to calm down. Now we have to have a huge group conversation with everyone that we're there with. And they pretty much told him, like, listen, you need to get your shit together. You cannot treat her like this. You cannot make all of us feel this uncomfortable. We're in Mexico. We all paid a lot of money to be here. Like, if you don't get your shit together, you're going to need to go. Like, we will buy you a plane ticket and you can leave and she will stay here. I felt so bad putting them in that situation to where they had to deal with that on a vacation. So I was just embarrassed. So, you know, he promised everything would be better. And, you know, we go throughout the trip. Him and I fight constantly. I know I drank too much one night and blacked out. I don't remember it. And we were screaming at each other on the beach. I never know why. We never had, like, a real reason. It was, like, always something small. And then it snowballed. And, like, he would never let it go. So the trip was an entire mess. He kept making me go away with him when our friends would go out and do things and just be with him. And I just felt so, like, exiled from the group. I felt like no one wanted us there anymore. And I don't blame them if they didn't.
Did you have, like, marks on you from him assaulting you and around your neck and everything?
I had some light, like, finger marks on my neck But we were there for a week, actually 8 days. So by the time we got home, you know, nothing was there. Yeah. I'm sunburnt all over my body. And we didn't talk about it. We didn't bring it up. It was like it never happened.
Were you ever scared of him? Like while you were with him, like the rest of the trip?
My entire relationship, I had to walk on eggshells. I was scared to say anything. I was scared to do anything. I was scared to stay a minute late at work. I was scared to talk to a male customer. Everything I did, I was terrified. I didn't think that he was going to physically assault me every time, but his mental abuse and the things that he said to me, it broke me. I was scared all the time. I felt like I could never be my true self or talk or say anything because you never knew what would set him off. When you get so beat down, it really does make you feel crazy and it makes you second guess everything you do. Like, what did I say? Like, I said something. This is my fault. Like, I did this to make him mad, so I need to fix whatever I did. I cannot do that. And instead of thinking, you know, why is he getting so angry over something like this? You know, I blamed myself over and over every time.
When you get into a relationship like yours was, where it's like, you have so many other like elements wrapped into this, right? Like you have, in the very beginning, we talked about codependency, where him being codependent on you, then he had all the control. Then you guys probably had trauma bonding. There was gaslighting, emotional abuse, financial abuse, certainly. Wrap all of these different elements in one relationship. How can you even begin to maneuver around that? There is so many obstacles there that you have to be aware of, otherwise you're in danger.
That makes a good point, because when people always ask, you know, why don't you just leave? There is so much that goes into it, like not even just breaking up with that person. Like you have gone through so much and you know so much, and then, you know, my past, I always felt abandoned. So there's just so much more going into it. And I love how you said that.
I'd like to say thank you to Brianna for sharing her story with all of us today. Please check the show notes for available resources to help yourself or someone you know out of a toxic relationship. We'll be back next week with part 2 of Brianna's story, and you don't want to miss it.
6 months of broken hearted, 6 months of working on myself, 6 months of broken hearted. Holding on tight, still falling down, but I know I can pick myself up.